Hello, everyone, and welcome to Offbeat Tracks episode 88.
88.
I'm Danielle.
Program 88, as SSQ would say.
There you go. Program 88.
Yes.
Dual, SSQ. The person we're not talking
dual about. Dual mode arpeggiate. No, we're not talking about SSQ today.
That would have been. I feel like we do that a lot.
Yeah.
We'll reference like a ton of other stuff
in
other than the thing that we're talking about.
In retrospect, SSQ probably would have been a smart choice for this since they say Program 88.
Well,
and they could have been, they literally could have been our Program 88. But you know what? That's okay. We have someone who's not as cool as SSQ to talk about. But in fairness to her, though, there is like no one, I think, on earth that I would say is as cool as SSQ. So
yeah,
that's not a knock against you, Maria.
There's no way you can compete.
That's
right. I guess. I mean, I feel it's Falco, but we all have our differences.
See, there you go.
Anyway, we're talking about Maria Vidal, or as for some reason I always want to say Maria Vidal.
Maria Vidal.
It just works. Maria Vidal.
It does.
Maria Telemundo. Vidal. Telemundo. Maria Vidal.
Maria Vidal. Maria Vidal.
Yes, she is my own telenovela.
What I find interesting about Maria Vidal, just in the scope of pop music and offbeat pop music, I think that most people see Maria Vidal differently than how I see her, because I think I came to know her differently than most. I think that if you bring her up to the average person whose brain is like in this world of music, mm-hmm. who knows 80s music, 80s dance music, they think of her as a one-hit wonder who had a hit with the theme song from a movie.
Yes.
I think of her as a lady who had two really good songs on the soundtrack, on an 80s movie soundtrack that I love, because that's how I knew who she was. I didn't discover her actual quote-unquote hit until a long time
later.
So anyway, we'll get to all of that. Let's get a little background on her, what little background is available on her.
I was wondering if you found more than I did, because I was like, am I just shitty at the internet now?
I did. I was able to dig up her old website on archive.org, but her biographical info is very thin on there. She liked to talk about her current career at the time, which was like 2008, I think, when she wrote it, 2007-8. And so there's not a whole lot of like foundational info. She was born August the 1st, 1960. I do know that. And the next item I have for her is that she was a founding member of the group Desmond Child and Rouge.
Yes.
And this was when she was 18 years old. She started recording with Desmond Child and Rouge. Who, had you ever heard of them before?
No. I mean, Desmond Child, sure, but like not Desmond Child and Rouge.
See, I'd never heard of Desmond Child.
Oh, yeah. He's a writer.
And so I knew that you would know who he was.
Yeah.
Because this is like definitely your domain. As soon as I started listening to them, I was like, oh, this is Danielle's music.
He is Livin' La Vida Loca.
Oh, did he write that song?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And as a Ricky Martin enthusiast still.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a Livin' La Vida Loca guy.
Okay.
In A Cup of Life from a World Cup.
Sure. Ale, ale, ale. I remember that. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a little more context. Cool. Yeah,
no. I mean, I don't think that the rest of his catalog is necessarily like Livin' La Vida Loca, but he's... Let's just say he's got some royalties in his back pocket. He good.
Okay, that's fair. So does Maria, as we will
yes.
get to. But yeah, she was in Desmond Child and Rouge. I guess that Rouge was two people and she was one of them.
Yeah.
So it's more or less seems like what it was. We're just going to hit on one of their songs real fast. Actually, first, I'm going to go grab this noisy toy away from my cat, because otherwise you're going to be hearing that for the rest of the podcast. So pause one moment.
Is it fair to say that Roby was Livin' La Vida Loca?
Yes. Yes. Through the magic of editing, we're back. PSA for any cat owner. My mom bought my cat this little thing that's just, it's like a little, it's made out of terry cloth or something, just a little pad, but it's got like tissue paper sewn inside of it.
Oh boy.
And when she handed it to me, I was like, well, this is silly. My cat has never loved anything more in her entire life. My cat cannot get enough of this thing. So if you find one of these things, get it for your cat. I'm sure like any pet store will have this thing, but I'm serious. Like if you can stand the noise, like they are noisy, but seriously, your cat will be occupied for its entire waking life.
I feel like it's only noisy right now because we need it to not be noisy.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Maria Vidal and Desmond Child and Rouge, mm-hmm. all of the above.
Half of Rouge.
Yes, half of Rouge. Half of Rouge and one third of Desmond Child and Rouge.
Rue or the
zh? The zh. Oh, I don't know. Fair question. If we find her Twitter, that's what the first thing we should ask her. Maria, can we call you Rue or perhaps zh? So we wanted to talk about one Desmond Child and Rouge song. So I pulled up this Our Love is Insane from 1979. I guess this is like their iconic hit. But as I just learned immediately before this show, it was not their biggest Billboard chart hit. Their biggest Billboard chart hit was something called Love on a Rooftop. So I don't know what that
is. That's probably unsanitary.
Our Love is Insane peaked at number 51 in 1979, March of 1979.
It's a very 1979 song. Yeah, and I love it.
Like, this is cool. It's not 100% disco. It's not 100% rock. It's like, mm-hmm. it sort of transcends a couple of genres. And I was feeling it.
I mean, there are a lot of songs like that around 1979 because a lot of artists that weren't disco were embracing a disco sound partially. So you get a lot of those like rock disco mixes where it's like rock artists are, you know, trying to stay hip with the cool times. So they kind of fuse them. And I really love it. I love it.
I guess I don't think I've ever heard anyone pull it off quite like this.
Yeah.
So I was into it.
It reminds me of like the stuff that comes out in the early 80s, like a lot of Roxy Music stuff. It's very like that kind of a rock disco-y fusion. I love it. Love it.
So fast forward a couple of years, Maria has embarked on a solo career at this point, and she scores a gig recording the title track to the 1984 movie Body Rock. And as I discovered years later, after first discovering Maria, this, I think, is how most people are familiar with her.
This is by far her biggest charter, right?
Yeah.
I think probably her only.
Yes, big time. Yeah. This was a number 48 hit on the Hot 100. It was a number 8 hit on the dance chart, and it was a number 11 hit in the UK. And I believe it charted elsewhere. Yeah, it's a great song. Body Rock, the movie, by the way, if you've never heard of it, it's got Lorenzo Llamas in it, and he was nominated for the Razzie for Worst Actor
for
this.
Can I point out, I had never, like, I knew this song just from stuff I'd download back in the day, looking at old dance charts. I never knew this was a movie,
mm-hmm.
and I'm totally going to rent it soon because I just feel like it's right in my wheelhouse. Lorenzo Llamas, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
babe.
And thank you for reminding me that I forgot to look to see if it was on streaming services because I was going to point that out. So it's entirely possible this is on a streaming service to watch somewhere. Who knows? But she did the theme song and did some cute TV performances with it. It's a very cute song.
Mm-hmm. It's very 1984 synth pop. It's like one of those things that has the perfect. I don't think it would have hit in 1983, but like 84.
See,
is the perfect
I think it would have hit in 83 because to me, mm-hmm. I think it's kind of riding the Flashdance wave. It's in that same vein.
See, I think it's like in the same vein of. Yeah, I don't know. It might have hit in 83, but to me, there's just so many of these weird like dance only club things.
Mm-hmm.
That are crossing over to Billboard because
this is when Madonna was starting to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, she was doing it.
So I just want to briefly mention this before we move on, because we're going to do this album on a separate episode. But Maria had two songs on the soundtrack to the 1985 movie Once Bitten, where Jim Carrey plays a high school vampire, mm-hmm. Which is a great movie. And both of her songs on that soundtrack are amazing. The soundtrack as a whole is amazing, so we're going to do an episode on that. So I'm not going to linger talking about them here, but I just wanted to make the point that that was my introduction to Maria Vidal. That's mm-hmm. how I knew who she was. And did not discover Body Rock till years later. So fast forward two more years from that, we're in 1987 now, and Maria, after having the big hit with Body Rock a few years before, gets a record deal on A&M with Jimmy Iovine, and she puts out a subtitled record in 1987. So that's where we are. So we're going to talk about a couple of her tracks from her sort of one and only album. she did have a second one later, but we're going to get to that, and possibly a third. We'll get to that as well. So let's talk about a couple cuts off of Maria Vidal from 1987. House of Love.
Okay, I hate this title.
Yeah.
I don't know why I hate it. I just hate it.
You know,
House of Love.
You know what I was expecting? I was expecting to pull it up and find out that it was the Amy Grant song from the 90s and that Maria Vidal had just written it in the 80s, but I was very disappointed when that was not the case.
I mean, it's not a terrible song. It's just...
No, I think it's pretty forgettable.
It is.
And there, this weird 80s, 90s thing, like... where somebody else records a version like in the, within the same year or two that sounds exactly like the original one. Why? There's a Canadian singer named Veronique who did a version of this and it sounds just like Marie
Vidal. I feel like record labels are just trying to get money wherever they can get it. They're just like, sure. They're not picky with it like a lot of people
are. It's just weird to me to think that, you know, 30 years ago we were living in this world where a song was a hit in the US, but literally just over the border in Canada. It was like, no, we have to have a Canadian singer do this to have it. It's just weird because we are just not in that universe anymore.
No.
You know, Gangnam Style was a number two hit a few years ago.
Which is crazy.
I'm very happy that we're in the reality with the charts that we're in now versus that reality.
I agree with you. Who's spending all his time?
I think this is if Maria has another notable hit, it would be this one, "Do Me Right," because
this is a Desmond Child song.
Yes, written by Desmond Child, her old buddy.
Did you know, by the way, that they dated?
I mean, I figured that probably happened
at
some point.
Desmond Child is gay. Like, he's gay and lives in Nashville with his husband, and he wrote a whole song, like back early '80s, about how he had to come out to his girlfriend Maria Vidal.
Wow.
Which I love that they're still buddies.
I guess you'd say. How did I not know all of this?
I read that and I was like, what? They dated? Weird. Yeah. So apparently they stayed friends after that whole thing. I don't know if I'd be able to do that. She probably knew.
That is interesting.
All women know.
So let's talk about... actually, that is not true at all.
They should know.
Straight women are sometimes the most clueless. "Do Me Right" is the next song we're going to talk about here, written by Desmond Child. I thought... this reminded you of... Excuse me. Let me say that again before words are coming out of my mouth. Did this remind you at all of the Paul Young song "Every Time You Go Away"? I thought the instrumentation was pretty similar.
A little bit. I can see that.
It had that same kind of groove to me.
To me, it's like one of these songs that's trying to be a power ballad, but it's not quite there.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
My only complaint with it, like, it's a fine song, whatever. But my only complaint is I'm like, you either go full power ballad or you step away from it. Don't be in the middle. It's one or the other. Like, I think that this song could have been a huge hit for any of those power ballad people. If you just do it a little harder. Like, it's a power ballad. They just don't do it hard enough.
If they do it right.
I hate this. They say the wounded believes highest.
The Real Feel. I wanted to talk about The Real Feel because, first of all, that title is hilarious.
I love it.
But second of all, it was written by Ellen Shipley, who wrote Belinda Carlisle's "Heaven Is a Place on Earth."
Oh, I like this song a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I think this is an interesting standout on the record.
I think, and it's
I was not surprised to look and see that Ellen Shipley wrote it.
Yeah, it's dancier. It's poppier. I like this song. I mean, the lyrics are stupid, but like...
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
I mean, we're talking about 80s music.
It's a late 80s pop album. What do you want?
It's a good little song. Sometimes it seems just like 1, 2, 3. A kiss and a touch is elemental to me. Love is just the way you feel. And when it feels this good, then it's got to be real. You've got the real feel, baby. Looks like it's gonna last forever. We got the real feel, baby. And just like that, we belong.
I thought this one was kind of Robin Beck-esque almost.
I'm going to tell you what. You cannot convince me otherwise of this. But if this song was not written specifically to get put on Miami Vice, I won't believe you. Like, it is Miami Vice to me. Like, I can see this in a terrible episode of
that
show.
Yeah, totally. This
By
is
the
called-
way, if you rewatch that show now on Hulu, it's awful. No one should have had, it's really terrible.
Yeah, that was a terrible show.
Like, it's so bad.
Hey, let's have a pensive, brooding moment between our two leads over a Phil Collins song, someone and got paid a lot of money for it.
I'm having a brain fart. Who is the lead actor?
Don Johnson?
Don Johnson is the worst actor I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you should listen to his music.
Like, I actually think he's better at music. No one thinks that. But, like, if you, I don't know, I just don't.
I could have guessed, actually, that you would think that. Sleep Won't Come is the name of this song. And, I don't know. It sounds to me like it could have been a Robin Beck song.
Yeah, I can see that, too. Also,
which is, in retrospect, that's a very odd sentence, too.
I mean, it's like a fast-paced driving beat, which is pretty cool.
I don't think anyone has ever in their life said, you know, this really could have been a Robin Beck song.
Only on here. But also, for example, if Sleep Won't Come, maybe you should make it a little quieter because this is a very loud song. So maybe if you can't sleep, you calm it the fuck down.
Danielle with the truth bombs, as always.
There you go. I'm helping you out here, Marie.
Just one more on this record that we wanted to talk about, Life on the Train. I have this bizarre affinity for any song that sounds like it could have been from a spy movie, which is really funny to me that you brought up the Miami Vice thing with the last one, because this to me, like, I love any song that sounds like espionage, and this song to me sounds like espionage.
Huh. Okay. I mean, I don't know. The only part
Not to circle back to SSQ again, but their song N'importe quoi, same thing. It's like, we've just completed the spy mission and now we're on a train barreling through the European countryside.
Why does it have to be always it always is a train.
It's always a train.
It's always a train.
Always a train.
That's why they all take place in Europe, because that's not
trains.
Yeah, no, the only thing I really like about this song, I find it completely boring and it's whatever, but there's like a really cool little synth bridge for like 6 seconds. And that's very good.
Noted.
I think it's pretty good. But also I found on, apparently she did some stuff with Stevie Nicks. She was like, she did background on I Can't Wait and stuff like that. But apparently there's like this crazy Stevie Nicks website who is like so obsessed with it. They put like every single thing she was ever in. And apparently this is classified that by them as a possible Stevie Nicks background vocal.
Oh.
I can't really hear it, but I also am not that obsessed with Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks did do background vocals occasionally in the 80s for singers who were not well-known either. I have a record by a lady named Sandy Stewart called Cat Dancer, and the title track, you can hear her clear as a bell right in the background vocals. So she did do that kind of stuff. That's interesting.
Yeah,
now I want to go back and listen again for Stevie.
Yeah, I didn't absolutely hear it. But I don't know, apparently these Stevie Nicks crazy people on the internet, they can hear it, whatever.
Maria had one more single in 1991. She reunited with her old buddy Desmond Child, and they put out a duet called Obsession. Boy, you thought Life on the Train was an espionage spy song. This is another one.
I'm going to tell you what. Like, this is co-written by Burt Bacharach.
Yeah, I had that written down too. Isn't that weird?
Who I love. I love Burt Bacharach. However, he does not belong in 90s pop music. He doesn't. Like, there's nothing I hate more than like a long instrumental intro. Like, get to it, come on. Like, it better have, I don't know, it better be like Meatloaf. if it's going to be like interesting to listen to.
Why would you say that?
That is interesting to listen to, but I don't need like some like orchestral intro. Like this is 90s pop music. Calm down. Anyway, I'm assuming that's Burt Bacharach who's doing that. And I love
him. You know it was Burt
Bacharach. He is a genius, but that's why he ain't making hits in 1991. We'll just point that out. Anyway, what do you think of it? I'm sure you love an instrumental intro.
I have nothing else to say.
Anyway, I don't know. It's too lame for me. But Maria's voice sounds really nice on it. She has such a sweet voice.
She does.
Mm-hmm. Every other word I say is your name. Say your name. And it's still here in the night. Even in my dreams, can't leave you behind. Obsession. Running through my blood.
So that's kind of it for singles released by Maria Vidal. Yes. She became mostly a songwriter and then kind of like a studio session backing vocalist. She wrote for Belinda Carlisle, which is funny because Ellen Shipley wrote for her. I love that connection. She also wrote with Billy Steinberg, who was he did a lot of stuff with Madonna, and he wrote with Julie Brown on her Trapped in the Body of a White Girl album. Yeah, he wrote definitely at least a handful of those songs with her. So he's like legendary late 80s pop songwriter. And she did backing vocals. Like, if you look at her list of credits, some of them are dubious. And so I'm only listing ones that I was actually able to confirm where I found her name in the liner notes of the album. She was on Celine Dion's Falling Into You album, which is like legendary. She's on the title track. Bette Midler. She was on Bette Midler's 1988 album, which the title is escaping me right now. And this was my favorite. She is credited in the liner notes on the Lana Del Rey album Born to Die. She is actually on Born to Die.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that a trip?
Huh. She gets around.
She did finally release a second album in 2009. She had this on her website. It was called Living in Radical Radiance. She sold it on her website, I think just as MP3s, but it is on Spotify.
Really?
So you can listen to it, yes. And I also noticed when I went to go check and make sure it's on Spotify, there is an album credited to someone named Maria Vidal.
That happens a lot on Spotify.
From 2017. That's called Quien Como Tú, and I can't tell if it's her or not.
It's probably not.
I listened. It does like it. It's honestly, it's debatable from the cover art and from the voice.
Is it all in Spanish?
It's debatable. Yes. And see,
I see that a lot.
That's
in Spotify.
The thing. Like, you can't confirm anywhere whether she has any Latina background. I mean, Maria Vidal sounds like it could be a Latina name, but you know, we don't know. So I don't know if it's her.
Well,
I don't know what else to say except, hey, maybe check out this other one too, and it might be Maria Vidal, and maybe enjoy it.
Yeah, maybe she should put more biographical information on the internet so that we would know what she's doing.
Yeah, that's not on a dead website that I had to pull up with archive.org. I have to do that a lot on the show.
I did
though,
notice she had a dead website. I thought I was just losing it. I was like, when is this just like a personal? It was like, you don't have access for this. And I was like, what, do you have like a personal live journal that only you can read? Remember when people did that? That was weird. Who does that?
Dear Diary, heard Body Rock on the radio in Kroger again today.
Just fucking get a notebook. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's it for our retrospective on Miss Maria Vidal.
Maria Vidal.
If you have any more info about her, feel free to reach out.
Yeah, or if you are Maria Vidal.
Always.
Sorry, we said you weren't as cool.
We always
as
love. We've still only actually heard from like one and a half artists who we have covered on this show.
Who was the half?
I'm saying a half because Fabrice Morvan from Milli Vanilli tweeted at us.
Oh yeah, that was
which
cool.
was very nice of him.
Yeah,
he's and so we cool. heard from File 13. I feel comfortable saying that we heard from the entire act.
Yes. Yeah, I know. That's good enough.
But yes, I want more. I'm greedy. You can get in touch with us on our website at offbeattrackscast.com. You can also listen to all of our past episodes there.
Yeah, I know. If you really want to make it a whole ring-a-ding time, we're also on Twitter at offbeattracks.
Yeah, we can. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and the Google Play Store and anywhere else that you aggregate your podcast.
Wherever
we
the
thank
cool
you very much
go.
For listening. We'll be back next week traveling back to the Pacific Islands again so soon.
God, we love it. We love it there.
All right, until next time, I'm Max.
I'm Danielle.
See ya.